for just allowing us to see yet another day. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, your direction, Father God, even though we don't deserve it. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for our families near and far, Father God. And Lord, we just pray right now, Father God, that something will be said that will lead someone closer to you today. Father God, we just thank you for that opportunity right now. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Today we're going to start out with our scripture of Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 14. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I hope everybody's receiving the goodness of God. And I know that there are a lot of things that go on in your lives that try to distract you. See, the devil has his little warriors too. For those of y'all don't realize it. The devil has his warriors too. Those warriors are designed, or those I ain't gonna say people, but they come to bring distractions, and they come to put pressure on you, and you have to be very, very aware of what's going on. All right, so we're coming from Jeremiah 29 and 10 verses 10 through 14. And I'm going to read it straight from the screen. And it says, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. When 70 years are complete in Babylon. 70 years. Not seven, 70. You know, seven, we can say, okay, all right, okay. All right, might be able to make my way through that. But 70 years, that's a lifetime. That's a lifetime for a lot of us. In verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you. For I know the plans I have for you. Not the plans you have for yourself. This is the Lord talking. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future. Verse 12. Then you will call on me and come pray to me, and I will listen to you. All right. See, we talked about 70 years. 70 years. I'm going to put you in Babylon. And then at the end, not at the end. Then in the end, in 11, once again, I'm sorry, go back to 11 right quick. We're going to get there. Just be patient with me. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future. See, at this point in time, you know, we all got our own plan. We all have our own plan. You know, God can show us what it is he wants us to do. You know, to these young men sitting over here, they might be just thinking about, I'm going to get to the next grade. Well, they might even be thinking about it. They think about, when is summer coming so I can get out of school? That's their plan. That's it. That's all they want. But then God says, I have a plan That's what God says. I have a plan. All right? So let's go on back to verse 12. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So what God is saying at that point is that after you go through what I've planned for you, then you will come to me. And basically he's saying, then I will hear what you're asking, and then I will share with you what I have for you to do. Verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your heart. See, a lot of times we ask God, well, God, I need this new car. Can I get this new car? But see, we don't understand it. That might not be God's plan. Lord, I need to do this and I need to do that. But that might not be God's plan for you. But we don't understand that. Lord, I need this new job. And this new job, they offer me this new position on this job. And I know I can do it. It fits right in line with what I know how to do and how I know how to do it. But that might not be God's plan for you. It's kind of like, I don't know, I'm going to keep moving because I might get carried away. I go into one of my stories. Verse 14. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will be bring you back from captivity. So let me just explain what we're talking about. God is talking to the people of Israel, and the people of Israel he sent them to Babylon for 70 years. They didn't choose to go. He sent them into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And what God is telling them at this time, he's saying, all right, so this is what I'm going to do. At the end of those 70 years, I'm going to come back. And you're going to seek me. And once you seek me with your whole heart, then I'm going to hear what it is that you have, what it is you have to say, what it is you want, the desires of your heart. And then, and only then, will you see the goodness of God. That's kind of interesting. Some people say, I don't know if you know what you're talking about there, Cooley. But then, because see, here's what happens, is that we go through some things in life. I'm going to make it plain. I'm going to make it every day. We go through some things in life. We experience a lot of pressure in our life. Most times it's job on our jobs. It may be our families. Families will put pressure on you. I know some people don't want to say that, but sometimes families will put pressure on you because they want certain things, and they want certain things to happen. And so they'll bring about that pressure. Now, we all know, because most of us in here work somewhere, and we know those jobs can put some pressure on you. They can put some pressure on you, especially when money becomes a major issue and people are making so many changes, pressure. So today I'm going to talk to you about don't be afraid of pressure. Don't be afraid of pressure. And of course, if we're going to say it, we might as well find out what it means. Pressure, a physical force exerted on an object or a person. So if you're used to going to work at 9 o'clock and the boss says you're going to start coming to work at 6, that's some different pressure. All right, that's some pressure. If I'm going to make it a little more plain, too. Man, when you find out you had your first child, you're glad. You're happy. 99% of us are happy. But when that baby comes and that baby starts taking up a little more your time, here comes some pressure. And then the real pressure comes, bro Nate, when you got to reach in your pocket and pay for this and pay for that. When you used to paying for something else. That becomes a little more different type of pressure. And we have to be mindful because we're saying, Lord, and don't let the baby get sick or let someone in the house get sick. Because then you start to think, Jesus, what is going on here? And it's just, you start to think or you start to wonder, why am I going through this pressure? You know, when, like I said, we talk about jobs and we talk about those things, because that's the current one. That's the one that goes on a lot is on the job, because people will constantly change what it is required of you. They'll add something on to it. Well, since you're already doing this, I need you to do that too. Well, since you're already over there, why don't you do that? That's pressure. On a consistent basis, it becomes pressure. And it becomes difficult sometimes. Because in our minds, we're thinking, man, this is not what I want to do. Because, see, now pressure is a physical force exerted on an object or a person. Like I said, we face pressure in our everyday lives, work, job, our friends, you know, we face pressure. Had I known back in 1986, 87, or 88, that I was going to be living in a husky, I don't know that I would have been here. And the reason I said that far back was because at that point in time, I was serving in the military. Uncle Sam had me in San Diego, California, and I was going through training and what have you. And I had a different mindset. My mindset was, I'm going to get through this, and I'm going to do this, 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 and this. A husky was not on my list. Anybody know that? That wasn't on my list. Especially since I'm not from here. Didn't know a person here, didn't even know where a husky was. Didn't see it on the map, because it didn't appear on the map. I'm trying to tell you. And then once I did that, God took me, he took me back to college and said, look, you need to get a degree. Went back to college and, you know, my mindset was, okay, I'm going to get this degree. You know, I didn't know that he had another plan for me. He introduced me to a young lady that sits over there. And, you know, me being from Raleigh, North Carolina, or Raleigh area, and her being from Oxon Hill, Maryland. Whew. Had no idea that's what God's plan was. All right? But he had already told me, you're going to get this degree. And we were in college together. And, you know, sometimes I tell her she'd be getting on my nerves because she pushed me all the time. Y'all know what I'm talking about. She pushed me, you know. And I never forget the conversation my mother and father had with me. You know, my grades came back. You know, you go to college, you get the grade report, they send it home. And my grades came back. And I had all A's in college. I had a 3.8, something like that. And my mom was looking at the grades, and she said, your grades sure have improved since you've been talking to Delana. And my daddy said, that girl been doing your work, ain't she, boy? I said, no, sir. And my mom said, no, Ernest, you know he my dad's name Ernest, too. He said, nah, she just been pushing him. And that's the truth. But see, I didn't understand the plan that God had for me. Still didn't see a husky. Still didn't see it. And with that in mind, you know, as we went through and we went on and we got married, and I still didn't see the plan. You know, And so as we went through, and, you know, she went through, we both got our degrees. As a matter of fact, at some point in time, she ended up moving back to Maryland. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I was stationed at Camp Lejeune doing wartime. And that was another pressure that was put on our lives because, you know, I'm in the military. She's going back to school, and there's another thing we got to jump over. The pressure, war, all that was going on in the world. But God had a plan. Part of that plan was he kept me at Camp Lejeune. He didn't send me over. Everybody else was going. I don't know why. Everybody else was going, but I didn't. You know, that's God. You know, because he had a plan for me. All I keep thinking about, you know, as I was going through this message, I was like, a husky. Nothing is healed. 30-something years I was trying to leave. He won't let me leave. And so, you know, like I said, God had a plan. And so, you know, as after we got married, her job transferred her here. My God. Transferred her here. Not my job, her job. And the funny thing about it, when we moved here, I didn't have a job. I had to step out on faith. Another conversation I had with my father. You know, one day, my father's here from time to time, but he's a very, he say what it means. And he told me, I said, well, Dad, I'm going to go ahead and move down with Delana in a Husky. And my father said, boy, you better get a job. I said, yeah, I know, Dad. I'm going to get a job. I said, I don't have one. I said, I hadn't even been here. Didn't come to visit. Nothing. Uh-uh. Moved. She was, as a matter of fact, she'd already been here a month. And then I just moved out of faith. You know, out of faith. And I had to make that decision. He said, well, I tell you what. Until you get a job, you better wash dishes. You better make sure that house clean. You better make sure that grass is cut. You better make sure. I'm like, yes, sir. You know, and that's what I did when I got to Ahoski. I cut the grass. I cleaned the house. I made the beds up. I did everything in that house because she's going to work. And a friend of mine, I didn't know him, but a guy told me, said, you need to look at the school system. They need some help. They're looking for some men. So I applied at the school system. And, you know, all right, so I'm telling you too much of my business now. But the pressure, because the pressure I was under being here without a job, being a man. Now, I don't know what men think now, but back then, you the man, you supposed to have a job. You the one should be paying the bills, okay? But she going to work every day. So I'm feeling that pressure. And I'm like, Lord, what in the world? We didn't have a church. We went to several churches, but we both knew God, and we prayed and we you know, Lord, just, you know, I had been here a week and got a job. Hallelujah. In the school system. Yeah. I tell you, God's plan. And it was funny because, once again, telling too much of my business, I got the job by mistake. I went to first of all, I had to find out where the main office was. I went there, and the guy told me, he said, well, if you come here, he said, if you get here by 1 o'clock, that's when I'm closing out these jobs. And so when I got there, he said, come on back. I walked into the HR office, and he started talking to me. And as he was talking to me, I realized he thought I was somebody else. Well, you know, when you apply for the job, I hadn't filled out any paperwork yet. Well, you know, when you did this, and I said, okay. And I'm sitting there, and the Lord saying, shut up. The Lord is saying, shut up. And so after we get about halfway through all this stuff, and he said, well, I'm going to need you to go ahead and fill out some more paperwork. So I filled out the paperwork. And then I think he saw that my name wasn't the name he was looking for. He said, okay. The man literally asked me, Well, which school do you want to work at? I said, what do you mean? Now, you need to understand something. I have a degree in business. I do not have a degree. I did not have a degree in education. Hadn't taught anybody's class. And one of the things that I did do when I was in college is I was not a counselor, but I counseled other students. And so the position that was available was a student assistance counselor. There go God again. And so about an hour into the conversation, he said, I want you to ride over there to that middle school, and the principal will be waiting for you. I said, okay. And I rode over there, and I talked with the principal, and we had a conversation. We talked about an hour. And then as I got ready to walk out the office, he said, you need to come to work Monday. What? Excuse me? Sir, I'm not a teacher. What? Yes. And so Monday morning, I'm standing in a school, shirt and tie on, you know, trying to look official, really wondering what am I supposed to be doing? And so when I got there that day, he told me everything that was included for the job and what have you. And he showed me my office. My office. Okay. And then he gave me this nice, beautiful list with about 20 names of what he considered to be the worst boys in his school. The hardest, toughest, meanest, roughest, most suspended kids he had in his school. He said, these are your kids. He said, you're going to need to meet with them and because we need to make a change. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got them. I want to say, well, look, this is some of the people I hung around with when I was growing up. This kind of folk I know. And so what ended up happening was I started setting up meetings with these guys. And as a matter of fact, I set up a club and we called ourselves Boys to Men. Boys to Men, because I knew it was my job to teach these boys how to be men. And every day, pressure, every day one of them was doing something and they didn't call the principal. They called me. It was to the point where, you know, the principal could say something to him and they would give him some words and I'd step up, excuse me, and yes, sir. And they shut it down. Now, I have to be completely honest because he got me up here. I'm going to try not to use all your time up today. But every now and then you had to, you know, you got to lay hands on folk and pray for them. Brother Nate, you got to lay hands on them in other ways too. That's right. Let them know. See, what happened was I didn't realize it at that time, didn't have any kids. I didn't realize it at that time, I actually became those guys' father. I mean, I had moms calling me saying he did this, that, and the other. I mean, teachers were sending them to me. The principals were sending them to me. And remember, I got 20 of these guys. And through a course of time, I started to see a change in them. You know, because every opportunity I did, I would, you know, share a little word with them. Just share a little word with them. And tell you, just to get a further example of what type of young men I was working with, I brought them, there used to be a radio station down here, down the highway there. And the man that was running the radio station, he's passed away, ran a gospel station. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to get them down here. And they wanted to go visit because they were into music. So I put them on a bus, brought them down here, and we walked through the little music, through the radio station and spent a couple hours there, what have you. Man sat down and met with us. And we got on the bus, got ready to leave. Good experience for him. You know, I said, okay, they finally got out to see some things. We all right. As we're riding to Murfreesboro, the bus driver said, they're throwing something out the window. I look back, because I'm sitting in the front, they're sitting in the back. I look back, and I said, what's going on? Nothing. We get to the campus, and I refuse to let anybody off that bus until we find out what's happening. Because I know somebody has done something. And after a good conversation, after we had a good conversation, about 30 minutes to sit on that bus, I found out that one of my wonderful students had stolen the radio announcer's Girl Scout cookies. All 7 boxes of Girl Scout cookies he stole out the radio station. With me standing there, didn't see it, didn't notice it, but he stole them. And they had ate them before we got to Murfreesboro. Had eaten every one of them before we got to Murfreesboro. That's what they were throwing out the one of the boxes, the empty boxes. Yeah, once again, see, that's that pressure I keep talking about. See the pressure. See, God ain't tell me what the plan was. That's what I understand, because you know, how many of y'all know that day I was like, I'm going to quit this job. I'm going to find me something else to do. Yeah, and this ain't for me. This is not the answer. Conversation with the parent, conversation with the principal, brought the young man back where his mother had given him the money to pay for the Girl Scout cookies, and he had to apologize to the man who was a minister, who prayed for him on the site. You know, and all I could do was say, Lord, why me? All right, so I fast forward this thing. This thing, like I said, it was Boys to Men. Boys to Men eventually grew into something we call the Emmanuel Kings, which the Emmanuel Kings was an AAU basketball team that I created because, you know, I thought I was pretty good. I was a very good athlete. Didn't tell you I had a track scholarship in college. That was me, you know. Played all kinds of sports in high school. That was me. So I was the coach, the basketball coach, coached boys and girls. And I guess I should have said also, I'm telling too much information, that boys, the men group, actually started out with a group of girls. Yes, I had to deal with a group of girls. I said deal with. Had to manage a group of girls because I coached girls. And my wife will tell you, we took the girls on a trip. We took the girls on a basketball trip to Raleigh. And my wife, see, God don't tell you the plan. He won't tell you the plan. You know, I got the pressure of trying to keep up with these 10 girls and had to house them. We didn't get a hotel. We stayed at my mom's house. Took the girls, got permission, had took the girls to my mom's house. We playing in the tournament and the pressure of having to keep up with them. And in the middle of all that stuff, my wife falls out. Boom. What you falling out for? What's wrong with you? Lord, have mercy. One of my little girls there, she said, ain't nothing wrong, Miss Cool. She just pregnant. She was. She was. I'm like, girl, what is wrong with you? Don't you know we got stuff to do over here and over here? You over here falling out. What in the world? So, yes, Miss Cooley was pregnant. And just the time that I spent with that group of young ladies that led into the group with the fellas as well, we realized that, okay, we got to do some teaching here. All right, we got to do some teaching. And we ended up, because see, God don't tell you the plan. If he had told me what the end plan was, I may have been able to do something totally different. Because, see, that's what happens. If God tells the end plan, we're going to mess it up. We're going to divert. We're going to do something else. My goodness, my goodness. So back to those young men, it grew into the Emmanuel Kings. And what the Emmanuel Kings ended up being is that we traveled all over the country playing basketball. All right, but it wasn't just playing basketball. Because when we went, we stayed for a week at a time. So we had hotel rooms. So every night we would have devotions. I think the first time I did it, the kids were like, huh, what? I said, come on in here. And we read a scripture, and then we would discuss what the scripture was about. You know, and what you'll find out is that everybody know God. Everybody knows God. Now, it's to what extent do they know God, or how it's been grown in them. And so we would, like I said, we would travel and we would do all kind of things. And I didn't know what God's plan was for me or for them or for my wife. All I know is that I'm coaching basketball. I like to do that. That was my plan. And he took me all kind of places with these kids. We went to all kind of universities. We played all kind of colleges and everywhere. Everywhere we went, You know, and I took a, like I said, I took a group of young men, and I think at that time we were in Raleigh, North Carolina, and you know, we were just playing ball. We had no idea what was going on. And I noticed that we had won two games, and one of the coaches came up to me and said, "How are you doing?" Asked me who I was and all this kind of stuff. I told him, and they were like, "Well, good luck to you." I said, "Okay." I'm like, he said it in a way like, "You getting ready to get into some mess now." Well, what we didn't know was the team that we were getting ready to play was a national championship team. That's who we were playing. Out of they called themselves Garner Road is what the name of the team was. And because we didn't know what the plan was, we were just operating that God told us. Just do what we got to do. We prayed. We prayed before every game. We prayed during the time. We did what we supposed to. And what was taught to them is that if I'm in charge, you're going to do what I tell you to do. If I'm your leader, if I am, for all intents and purposes, your father for this week, then you better listen to me. And that's what they did. If I said we're going to eat today, we're going to eat. If I said we ain't eating today, oh, well. Now, what we didn't know as we started playing that team, you know, because people were, you know, people make ideas, they create ideas on these teams and stuff and how good, you know, they're so good, they're going to beat y'all to death. After we beat that team, the coach came up to me again and shook my hand and said, "Man, you all right?" I'm like, "No, God is all right." Because everything that God told me to tell those kids, I told them. But see, had I told them that this was the national championship team, they might would have went in there with some fear in their hearts. Because see, people don't understand what the plan is. And see, my whole point with the man, kind of means to go far with that. What God's plan, he didn't tell me, is that there are now professionals, husbands, those young men, husbands, daddies, lawyers, doctors, same kids. They work with police officers, teachers, same kids. Same kids. We met about, December? In December, I called them back and said, "Look, I need to see you. I ain't seen y'all in forever." And we talked about experiences and things that they went through and what have you. And what touched me was a lot of kids said, "If it hadn't been for Mr. Cooley, I wouldn't be here." And I was like, "No, if it hadn't been for God, it ain't me. I'm just doing what he told me to do." But see, there again, he didn't tell me the plan. Because if he had told me what he had planned for me, I'd have messed it up. I would have messed it up. Because there was pressure. The pressure. I don't want to get away from what the message is. The pressure that goes along with what we do. The pressure goes along with what God tells us to do. See, we got to understand that God's goodness is waiting. Like he told the Israelites, "I'm going to send you away for 70 years. But at the end of 70 years, I'm going to return." That's the message. We've got to operate because in the sense that God has a plan for us. We don't know the plan, but God has a plan. And because he has a plan, we got to operate. Because then I'm going to tell you, during the time that you're operating, you're going through, it's going to be some pressure, some stuff going to happen. Somebody going to do something. Something's going to happen. And you're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to keep thinking about, "I know God got a plan for me. You know, I know God has a plan for me, and I won't try to go in this direction." But four years ago, I started feeling a lot of pain in my back and sharp pains. And I was okay. A couple months later, took the family. We went on vacation, went to Hawaii, came back. I said, "Maybe I didn't pick up some too many bags and carried this stuff or whatever." And so I finally went to the doctor. And the doctor revealed, he says, "You got 3 fractures in your spine, in your back." He says, "And you also have multiple myeloma cancer." Whew, Lord, that's pressure. That's pressure. Because you're thinking, "Hey, wait a minute, Lord, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. you know, the job is going well and the family's doing well, and you know, and God was like, it ain't about you. You know, because I'm the pressure. All the pressure. And so I'm like, okay, you know, because I think the doctor thought I was crazy when he called me and told me. And he said, Ernest, do you understand? I'm telling you, you have cancer. I said, okay, what's next? Now, that's what I said, but in my mind, I'm thinking, uh-oh. And then he asked me, he said, well, let me call Delina, you know, let me call the doctor, let me call her. And I said, you can call her, that's fine. But what's the next step? And the whole time, you know, I had to pray. I automatically started praying. I'm like, Lord, tell me what it is. You know, because for me, and we're talking about pressure now. Remember, we're talking about the pressure. Life is going well. Everything's going fine. Got a new job. You know, I'm doing good. I don't know that I had bought. No, I hadn't bought a new car yet. I was living it, enjoying it. Boys in college. My boys had graduated. One of them had graduated. I'm like, hey, my sons. You know, I'm thinking, all right, life is good. Everything is going well. And then here come the pressure. Not only do you have fractures in your back, but you have multiple myeloma cancer, which I didn't know what the world that was. But, you know, I had it. You know, okay, fine. First of all, you don't accept nothing. But, you know, God said, okay, God, what are we going to do next? So, you know, even after I found that out, I felt like, you know, we're going to do things. But then the pressure increased. The doctor, when we went to see the other doctor, he says, now what this may happen is that as the fractures start to change, you may start to lose the feeling in your legs. And if that comes, then you need to call us. Well, he must have spoken into existence, because about 3-4 days later, I could not walk. Could not walk, period. Couldn't stand anything. And I was like, Lord, 2 months ago, I'm refereeing. I'm referee as well. I'm refereeing basketball. I'm running up and down the court. I'm doing all this kind of stuff. And now I can't walk. The pressure. The pressure. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on here? See, we all understand God's got a plan. All right? He has a plan. I'm like, that's not the plan. That can't be the plan. Ain't no way in the world. That's the plan for me to not be able to walk. And so I ended up in the hospital, you know, literally that day. I ended up in the hospital. The pressure. Going through the surgery, you know, faith in God was a simple fact that when I talked to the doctor, he said, now, I'm getting ready to do this surgery. I said, you know what? God's already told me that you're the one to do this surgery. And I trust you. Do what God tell you to do. This is what I'm getting ready to do. And the man's getting ready to push me into the operating room. And I went to sleep. I gave it to God and I went to sleep. I'm like, hey, there you go. You know, woke up, what, 2 days later? And that was another issue altogether, blood bleeding, all kind of stuff, and had all kind of complications or whatever, but nothing but God. So then I began, they started me walking. And you guys heard this story earlier when I said God, he used different people. And that day, I'm going to move a little bit faster, but that day that they started me walking, there were two ladies that were going to assist me. And I was saying to God, I said, God, I couldn't stand when I had surgery. Now you're gonna have these two ladies help me. These two 5'2" ladies help me. And I'm gonna be real with you, these two 5-foot white ladies help me. Girls, they were girls. And the lady said, come on, I got you. I said, all right now. I said, I can't catch myself. And so they assisted me as I walked through that hospital. And the more weight I put on, the better I got. But the point of the story is that God didn't tell me I was going to go through that stuff. First of all, if he had told me, you know, I wasn't going to go through it, right? I'm going to figure out a way to get around it. And so I'm thinking, well, you know, as I was preparing for this lesson, and God gave it to me. God gave me about five messages today. And I was like, Lord, I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. And I said, you sure you want me to talk about don't be afraid of pressure? Pressure. He said, cooler tell this. Pressure. And as I went through, I had to just continue. Every day God laid a song on my heart. As I lay in the hospital room, and Delina will be there, and the pressure. See, that's other things I keep talking about stuff, then pressure. My wife took off work for a month. 3 months. All right, see, she I must have been sleeping on that time. I don't know. But she took off work. So y'all do realize if you don't go to work, you don't get paid. You don't get paid. God is good. You know, and just showing you how God looked out for us. He didn't put me somewhere else now. I have been working. I have 33 years in education, okay? And I hardly ever took a day off. I'm talking about if it's spring break, I will be at work. I served in multiple capacities. I worked in another district as a middle school principal for 10 years. I worked here as the high school principal for 4 years. I taught for another county for several years and over here for several years. In other words, I had a lot of years in. Do you realize this is how God works now? That when the doctor told me it was going to probably be a year that I was going to have to sit out of work, and I'm thinking, oh, so that means I ain't going to get paid for a year. We're going to have to do something. God going to have to do something. Going to have to happen. I started looking at my sick days, and the lady said, well, how many days are you going to take? I said, it's going to probably be a year. I said, I can't do it all at one time. I started looking at my sick days. Do you guys realize I had over 350 sick days? I had 350 sick days. I did not have to take any kind of leave other than a sick day the whole year I was out. That's God. And which some of y'all don't understand what that means. I'm still getting paid while I'm laying in the hospital. I'm still getting my regular check every month while I'm laying in the hospital. And the truth be told, when that January, February came around, I got a bonus. I said, Lord, what? I got a bonus. Whew. Nothing but God. You know, and during the time I was out, so that's just how God does, we paid our house off. I was like, wait a minute, Lord. God got a plan. Cars paid off. House paid off. What's going on here? You in the hospital getting a check every month. What's going on? God, not me, not her, God. Being faithful. My God. Keep thinking back to 19, that I'm in, like I said, a high school. Never heard of it. Had no thoughts of it. I'm like, Lord, what the world is going on here? That thing just amazed me when I started seeing stuff, and the insurance company sent us a check. We had overpaid or something. I was like, okay, Lord, what do I need to start my own business or something? What you trying to get me to do? But that's God. Never showed me the plan. And as I go through, see, he told me, said, now, as you go through, this is part of the plan. Now, what I need you to be is to be a light for me. So when I meet somebody or I come in contact with somebody that's suffering from cancer or have gone through any kind of experience, then it's my job to share. That's the goodness of the Lord. He said, the goodness is waiting on you. He didn't tell me the plan. Lord knows I'm glad he didn't tell me the plan, because I'd have never went through most of this stuff. That's what I'm talking about. God, whew. Guys, the testimony, it just keeps going and keeps going. I had a lady just Thursday, a parent that stopped me, flagged me down in the parking lot. I was going in a building, and she said, I'm apologizing for not being at the meeting that you had the other day, because I've been sick and I have cancer. I've just been diagnosed with cancer. I said, Lord, this is why I'm supposed to be here, huh? So I had to share with her. And she said, I didn't have any idea. I didn't know. And I prayed with her. You know you ain't supposed to be praying with people at school. The devil is a lie. Every day, all the time. Shoot. I know who I serve. It ain't nobody that work at no central office. It ain't nobody that's over nothing. It's Jesus Christ. And I stand everywhere I go. That's my job. And I see people all the time, and they'll tell me, they say, you know what, you different. I said, okay, I receive that. You different. But that's our job. That's all of our job. But specifically for me, you know, I couldn't be afraid of the pressure. Because the pressure has developed and grown me into what God wants me to be. Because that's what happens. It matures you. That's what happens. It matures you. You know, whether that's a situation where you end up getting divorced and end up marrying somebody else or what have you, you got to learn from that. You got to learn from that. Lord forbid you miss something or lose somebody or something in your life. You got to learn from that. The pressure. That's what we're talking about, the pressure. You know, God is so good in all that he does and all that he allows us to go through. And you heard I say allows us to go through. And as you know, most of us thinking, allow me to go through that? He allowed me to go through cancer? Yes. Oh, and I guess the part of the story I should have told was that what about 3 months ago they told me I was cancer free. God is good. You know, and I said, well, my back still hurt a little bit, Lord. Do something with that, you know. He said, you all right. You all right. Cancer free. You know, I'm like, what in the world going on here? And you know what? I'm still in a Husky. Still in a Husky. I was like, Lord, I done traveled all over this world, all over this place. We done been everywhere, and we still in a Husky. God's plan. You know, we don't know what God's plan is, you know, because as we go out and go different places and experience so many crazy things, it's our job to learn, grow, and make sure that we don't forget and teach others. That's God's plan. He's not going to tell you what the end of the plan is. See, I still don't know what the end of the plan is. I don't know. Next week he might tell me to move to wherever. But if he tells me, guess what? I'm going to do it. All right, I'll come back and tell you about it, but I'm going to do it. And that's what I've had to learn through all the experiences and things I've gone through, you know, and I want you to make sure that you understand that as we go through God's plan, God's goodness, that song that they played, which I think that was one of my favorite songs, the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord, we got to make sure we understand it's coming. If you ain't already got it, it's coming. The goodness of the Lord. He bless you in every little moment. And right when you start to feel so bad, keep trusting him. You know, because I was questioning so many things when I was, you know, I hated the fact I was at the house and couldn't go anywhere, couldn't drive, you know, and then I realized, you know, then the check kept coming. I said, what, where are the check? I said, at some point in time, they're going to stop paying me for being at the house. You know, checks kept coming. You know, extra checks start coming. I was like, Lord Jesus, what is going on here? Nothing but the goodness of God. Just when you feel, and that's when you need to praise him. Praise him, you know, praise him when you're not going through, but praise him when you're going through. Give it to him and give him the credit. Give God the credit. It ain't me. I didn't do anything. Did nothing. And it didn't deserve it. And look, you're going to get blessed. You're not deserve it. You don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But you're going to get blessed anyway. Walk in it. Walk in it. You know, I just think about myself at that, you know, we was in college and I had no idea when I was in college walking across that campus, doing my little classwork or what have you. And I met that young lady over there and just a quick story again, Ms. Cooler, I'm sorry. I know y'all tired of me, but anyway. We were doing a tour. We were freshmen. We ended up meeting because we were doing a tour together. They were taking everybody around. And she had introduced herself to me. Oh, I had introduced myself to her, she says. When school started, I was in a dorm, and her dorm was across the street from mine. It was on campus, but I could see her walking to the dorm every day. And it seemed like every day when I was in my room, I could look out my window and I could see her walking to the dorm. I said, you know what, I'm going to meet that. I'm going to talk to that girl. And gentlemen, just, you know, be focused. Talk to God. Ask God, is that the one? Because she sent me some, she put some doubts in my mind at one point in time. I'm going to tell it, Ms. Cool. I went to visit her at the dorm one night. Went to the dormitory, and at that old school dorm, you go to the lobby. You ain't going nobody's room. You go to the lobby, and you ask to speak to so-and-so, and they call the person, and they come downstairs to the lobby. So I'm standing there, and I said, Delana Davis. And the lady goes on the little phone. She says, Delana, you have somebody here to see you. And Delana goes, who is it? You know, I can hear her. I say, Ernest Cooley. Who? Ernest Cooley. And so now you got to also understand that this is the lobby. There's other students sitting in there talking to their little girlfriends, everybody, so everybody can hear. And so she says, tell him I'm in the bed. I ain't coming out. So I'm standing there at the lobby, the thing, and I got my back to everybody. So now I got to turn around. Because everybody's sitting in the lobby like, oh, how you feel? So I get myself together. I ain't turn around yet. Turn around and I head to the door. And one of the boys said, Kool-Aid! What's up, man? He didn't hear the whole story. He heard the lady tell me she ain't coming down. That's my wife. That's what she did to me. It's okay, because it was too late. I think it was 8 o'clock, y'all. It was too late. She ain't coming down. It was 8 o'clock. Okay, I mean, different vibes of that, 12 or something like that. No, it was 8 o'clock. She ain't coming down. I was like, okay. So probably for about 2 weeks, I ain't even tried to talk to her. I said, forget that. That must not be the one. We ain't doing that. But what the Lord would do is every day on the way to class, we would pass each other. Every day we had classes, and we would pass each other, and we would speak. And it just grew from there. But God has a plan that we don't have an idea of what that plan is. We just got to make sure that we're smart enough. I ain't going to say smart enough because we not. We just got to follow God's plan. Trust in God. And see, how do you do that? Study your word. Read your Bible. I hate to say it all the time. Read your Bible, because God will talk to you as you study the word. He will tell you some things. He will clue you in. Young people, he'll tell you who not to hang around with. And what he'll do is that he'll give you little clues. It'll be certain things. If somebody says certain things, oh, no, that ain't the one I need to be around. And then you move away from those people. Because everybody doesn't know God to the level that you know him. Okay? To my young people, I tell you, be careful who you're around. Be careful who you listen to. I ain't talking about just kids. I'm talking about grown folk too. Okay? That's everything. Be careful. You know, God's got you. He has you. But you don't want to go through some stuff that you don't have to go through. So that's your plan. You know, that's all you need to know. Follow God. He ain't going to tell you the whole plan. He'll reveal a little bit to you at a time, because we can't handle the whole plan. We don't have the ability to. Lord knows if I had known this stuff, y'all wouldn't be looking at me right now. I'm telling you, I would not have been in the high school if I had knew I had to go through all this good stuff. But God is good all the time. And I know I have diverted. But I wanted to make sure you understand, just like the Israelites, when they were sent to Babylon for 70 years, we are going through. And unfortunately, just like Pastor say, it's not going to get better right now. But you got to keep the faith. You got to understand, know God's word, do what God asks you to do, and make sure you understand who you're going to depend on. You know, some of us grew up with God-fearing parents that taught us that's not the thing. That's not the way right now. In other words, parents don't do parenting anymore. Everybody's parents not doing parenting. You can always tell a kid that has a parent that's teaching them right. And they'll speak to you. Or when you speak to them, they'll say yes, or whatever. They might not say yes, sir, or no, yes, ma'am, or something like that. But you can tell a difference in their mannerisms. You can tell a difference in how they carry themselves. Okay? So it's our job, and that's what I tell people all the time, it's our job. You may not have a child or at that age or what have you, but you know some. It's your job to teach those things that are not being taught right now. Just do it. Just do it. Nothing crazy. There's nothing wrong with saying, all right, how things work is when you do this, you're supposed to do that. You know, we miss even with church etiquette. Uh-oh. Church etiquette. You know, with church etiquette, if back in the old days, if the pastor was up here preaching, you better not move. You better not move. You better go to the bathroom before he start preaching, or either you better go after. Because if you got up and moved, somebody grab you. Get your butt over there and sit down. From, you see that man preaching? You hear the word of God going on. It's imperative that we continue to teach. It's imperative that we continue to do that. No matter what your job is or where you are, or whatever you come in contact with, that's our job. It's part of that mission. It's part of us making sure that people understand God's not going to give you the whole plan. He's not going to give you the whole plan. But we thank you for just understanding the pressures that you're going to go through. Understand the pressures that you're going to go through. And make sure you always ask God, all right, Lord, this you? What's going on? Because, see, sometimes we have a tendency to be have faith in ourselves instead of having faith in God. That's where we mess up. Because, you know, hey, you'd be quick to say, well, you know what? When the Lord was telling me to give this sermon, this message, I was like, Lord, I don't know if that's the what. And then he just stopped. Like, say, all right, so you know. Then else, yes, stop. I said, okay.
Somebody watching you. So you got to make sure you're doing the right things, saying the right things in the right places. That's what it's all about. You know, at this time, I'm going to stop talking. I've said what God told me to say. I've said what he told me to say. And now I still got four more pages if y'all want me to now. But I'm messing. I've said what he told me to say. You know, always make sure you understand. I don't want you to be afraid of the pressures that's going to be coming. And because they're coming. That's right. Yeah. The pressures are coming. Amen. There's going to be other things that are going to happen. And you just got to make sure that you just first speak to God and say, Lord, what's going on? What do I need to do next? And then he'll tell you. Study your word. He'll tell you. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. It's probably not going to be what you want to do. It's probably not going to be what he's going to tell you to do. Well, excuse me, not what you want to do. That's why we got to be God-centered and not us-centered. All right, have your faith in God, not in yourself. Amen. Or not in your girlfriend, or not in your husband, not in your boyfriend, your wife, and all them folks. They might know God too, but God talks to you. God talks to my wife, and he talks to me as well. All right? And because we're married, at some point he'll bring us together and then we'll be in agreement on God stuff. You get in disagreements when it's not God stuff now. I'm going to tell you now. That's what happens. That's what happens. When it ain't God stuff, stuff started to happen. You just got to keep prayed up and stay prayed up and stay focused and do those things that God tell you to do, because that's where it's going to happen. That's where the blessings of God is going to come from. And just continue to love him and praise him and give him all glory. At this time,
if there is one who does not know God, or should I say has not accepted God into their life, now's the time that you just want to just come forth and accept God in your life. Because I told you a lot. Now I don't want you to be apprehensive, because whether you accept God today, next week after next year, you're still going to have trials. You're still going to have pressure situations. There's still going to be tribulations. But now you understand what's going on. That's important. That's what I'm talking about. That's what's important. That was my job today. I know some of you guys said, well, he talked forever. That's good. But that was my job today. And he told me to give you some real examples. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. You know, just be mindful of that, and just make sure you're aware of everything that God does. He knows everything that you do. We have a tendency to think that we had it sometime. We ain't had it. He saw it. He got you. Yeah, he might not bring it to your remembrance right then, but later on when you think you done got away, when everything running smooth, remember that day. He got you. He got you. To my young people, I say the same thing. God's watching you too. I don't know why people think that God don't be talking to folk until they get to a certain age. That ain't true. Especially the way our world goes now, our young folk they hear God all the time, where they don't hear him. He talked to them. Got to have an ear to hear him. God is good all the time. Do we have one? We got four or five. All right. Praise God. I want to make sure.